And it's recording. And we are up and running. Here we go. Let me just open up the chat beside me. Oh, no, that's not right. How does the chat open on the side like it normally does here? Zoom webinar chat. Do people? Oh, there's Deborah Gray. Okay, now it's doing it. There it is. Hey. Here we go. Here we go. Look at everybody here. Hello, there's Sammy, Holly Rose. Look at all the fabulous people. Okay, here we go. We're rolling in. I'm just going to tell my friend here, yay. Yay, cashmere and cards.
So great to see everybody. Hello, hello.
Yes, hello. Hello. Okay, just letting you all know that Techno Wizards, all right, there's Tabby. There you go. So I am going to just let everybody know tonight is going to be so fun. Yes, as a matter of fact, I was going to just about to tell you I'm going to get my glasses, Millie. As I can see, Millie goes, no glasses tonight? And I was like going, what's wrong with my eyes? I don't have my glasses on. I'm going to be right back. Oh, my God. Doug, let everybody know where you are and what's happening.
Yeah, so I am in Amsterdam tonight, and it is 1 a.m. in the middle of the night in Amsterdam. I'm here for a conference for work, and so I'm in my pajamas. So I'm up with all the Europeans this morning tonight, so hope everybody is doing well. And I know so many of you get up in the middle of the night for these calls in Europe, and we're thrilled that you're here. So I am joining in solidarity with you.
Now I can see.
And now you probably see how bad my hair and my makeup is.
Oh, your hair looks great, honey.
No, I'm teasing.
I know, I'm wondering, why can't I see? And then I realize somebody says, what, no glasses? And I'm like, right, I can't. That's why I can't see. Oh, that's too funny. Yes, I have a Christmas tree up already. I made my husband. He did not want to put it up. I will tell you all, he wanted me to wait till next weekend, but I said no. That's. I don't know how I weaseled it out of him that we went and got a tree. So we have a tree. Because I'm ho, ho, ho. Yes, Doug has the best bedhead. Doesn't he have the best bedhead? So tonight I pulled three cards for all of us tonight about just about what is our mission. This evening as we're sharing, this is our next to last call for personal mastery. I know we're going into shared wisdom next. And then we have a couple weeks of integration. Everybody's going to move over to the Facebook room. And by the way, I'm going to be doing a few Facebook lives in there. So that should encourage you all to slide over there as fast as you can. Everybody's asking about my new puppy. That my new puppy is coming on the 8th of December. So you'll get a chance to see the pup. I'll bring her and visit everybody in the integration room. Which turns into, I think if Anna is correct, we turn it into the alumni room. Once everybody's, the people who are moving on to shared wisdom, they go on to the next room and you guys stay there. So we have everything thought of. Nobody is left behind. That is not correct. Ooh, Anna, that is absolutely not correct. Okay. Anna, I think I better have you up here right now because I just said something wrong. Oh my God. Okay. That is not correct. Good thing I asked. Let me just check out here. That's hysterical. I think Anna needs to explain this. So I'm going to find her in the participants. That is very funny. Yes, everyone should laugh at me. Exactly. And the attendees are there, and I'm going to look for Anna. And I'm just going to have Anna on. And why does it say promote to panelist? Oh, there you go. There she is. Oh, my God. Can you believe it?
You're so funny.
So, Anna.
You said, is that right? I was like, no, that's not. But
I'll get to the cards in a minute. So before we go on any further, I think Anna should explain to everybody what we're doing with these rooms.
Okay. So... tomorrow, I am going to put a link in all of your classrooms, And that will be your invitation into the new room, which is your integration room, so that everybody's together all in one place. We would like for all of you to request entry this before next week, so that you can see Colette and the Facebook Lives next week. Okay. Now, once integration is over, those of you who have decided to go on to Shared Wisdom will shuffle on over to the Shared Wisdom room. And those of you who are not going on to Shared Wisdom at the time will get another invitation to shuffle on over to the Personal Mastery.
That's it. Alumni room.
And then the integration room just goes away completely.
Oh, thank you, Anna. Can you imagine this? Like, oh my God, how many times have we done this? I'm like, which part did I get wrong? Thank you, Anna. Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes. So somebody asked if integration was mandatory. Well, integration is for you guys to actually just keep enjoying the course, and you don't have to stop learning. And we go over the modules, right? We do these mini reviews of everything you've done. So it's actually good to be part of integration. Like, you want to be in integration because it's fun. And then you get to meet other people and all the rooms get together. And like, that's a lot of, right? That's why a lot of the students have come back for a second round, because it was so awesome.
Yes.
And it's fun.
Yes. Integration is fun. We review each module. And not only that, there's still a link, a thread, so that you guys can find partners, and then you can partner with people from the other houses. You get to know each other that way. So integration is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Mo asks, what if you are not in a classroom? Well, if you're not in a classroom, it doesn't really matter, because you can join the bigger Facebook group. So
If you're not in a classroom with integration, you have to be on Facebook for, because that's where we run Facebook. Integration room is a Facebook room.
Yeah.
I can put the link in the main hall, but you would still have to join integration.
You still have to join Facebook. Exactly.
You still have to be on Facebook. So.
Yeah. And somebody said, if the students do not request entry, will they be put in there anyway? No. You have to request entry, and you have X amount of time to do it. So that's your job. And so we're going to just make sure in the smaller rooms that everybody gets.
Yes. I'll put the link tomorrow in the small rooms. This way, you know what that link is for. It's for the integration room. And then you'll be in both rooms right up until we close your small houses, which your small houses, this is the last module has dropped. Next is the last call. And by the following weekend, we'll be shutting down the
houses.
So they'll be closing in 2 weeks.
Now, it is normal for you guys to go, ooh. So we have thought of everything. So we bring everybody back to the next spot, right? That's why everybody comes together in a bigger group. And then you're going to meet people from all over the place. And it's more fun because it's easier to partner. Well, it's not easier, but it's really easy to partner. You just put up your name and say, I want to partner, or they want to partner, and people find each other. And lifelong friends have come about because of this. And even in the alumni room after the fact too, if those of you who don't move on to Shared Wisdom, then you go into that room. Thank you, Anna. I wasn't sure which was which. You'll meet the other students from last year, that did the class again, some of them. So it's a big, fabulous hodgepodge of people. And we're all here for the same reason. It's a practice room. People keep practicing, et cetera. And sometimes you wait a year and go on to Shared Wisdom the following year. So we keep a nice community going, and we're all here for the exact same thing. And it's safe. It's wonderful. It's great. It's expressive. And you just keep it going. Yes. Thank you, Anna. I thought it was done today. See, I forgot to ask you. And there you go. I needed to read your mind before I got on the call.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And yes, Maria, every time you go on for another round, you do pay again, but you pay $97, right? Or $99 to to, is that, that's what we charge, right?
For that's, that was for this round. Yeah. For personal mastery, for people who are retaking it.
Yeah. So it's, you can come back for, you know, each year for very inexpensive, and yes. people are doing that. So that's why we have 400 students in here from last year, because they love it and it's great. And it's again, you keep growing, right? The way this content is, it's about your personal growth. So you come back next year, another person, you know, and then you want to start again, and you find new things about yourself. But the first time you come in, you're really kind of learning the language. And I do want to mention that, Anna, it's cool if you stay here for this part, because we talked about it earlier, you and I, how fantastic the posts are, right? Yes. And Anna reads them all, and then we go over it together, and she says, oh, this was great. I have to read you this. This one's fantastic, blah, blah, blah. And we have a very specific structure about how we do things, and I know that some of you find, like, it is, you know, when people try to contain you in a little way at first, it's kind of like, wah! But then you kind of get the hang of it and start realizing, oh, wow, yeah, the pearl, I get it. The grit's over there. I want to keep it short. I want to learn this way of communicating and sharing my wisdom in the personal master room. So it's been fantastic. They've gotten better and better over the past 2 weeks. And I love that right?
They really have. Can I just, want to address a couple of questions see
going by. May as well. Okay.
We're not going to talk about shared wisdom tonight. That's the second level. We're going to talk about that in the Facebook Lives next week.
Perfect.
That's coming up. There's another question. How long do we have access to all of our modules and downloads? You will always have access to your modules and downloads. Those are in the main hall. The main hall, it's just the main hall. It will stay there, and your class stays there with it. And then somebody was asking if they can join the Facebook group now. We're emptying the rooms next week, so it doesn't make sense to join the group today, but you can. I will put a link in the main hall, and you can join from there. Okay?
Right. Yeah, not today.
That's
okay.
All the questions that I saw that I could answer. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you. So just to reiterate that too, we're going to learn more about that. Thank you, Doug. I was looking at a person that we named Doug that wrote about shared wisdom. I'm like, who is that? It's Doug Upchurch. I just saw a glimpse of the name. I'm like, I'm out of it. I don't understand.
Wait a minute. I'm the one that's 1 a.m. Not Christmas you. Come on, girl.
It's the Christmas elves. I got to show you my Christmas elves in a second. Oh, and now you are not behind, Leslie. You said, do we still have access to modules? I'm behind. No, you're not behind. You are exactly where you need to be. You have access to these modules. You can watch our calls. You're going to watch us teach through bringing two people up at a time tonight. So don't think you're behind. Remember, we said that early on, you have plenty of time to do this course, you know, go at your own speed, at your own pace, be here with us. Look at you, show up all the time. I know who you are. You show up at the, you know, in the calls, and it takes a little bit of time. It's the holidays. You guys, if you're American, you all went through Thanksgiving, and, you know, Doug's been traveling. Num, num. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. So anyway, yeah, just really no judgment on where you're at. You just need to allow yourself to be here and be at your own pace. I love what Colleen said. The first year I was behind the whole time, and then she came back again. Yes. And so somebody said that my picture is cool. Yes. These are my eyes, my bird eyes. Anyway, so yes, I love this. Ruby Starfeather says she's still on module two. There you go. Right. So that's the main thing, is that you honor yourself and your own timetable. Now you're going to have access to all of our teaching videos. Like, you have what you need to learn in the actual module content and those videos. And then you have us kind of showing you. You know, and your job is to look at the modules and answer the questions, etc., in your time. And then we get together and show you other things that you know. And then you've got this nice package that you can get to whenever you get to it. So don't, no judgment. Remember that you've got no judgment. Now, on the other hand, if you want to join up to the next thing, you're going to want to, like, kind of, you know, get yourself together by February, but that's plenty of time. Now, we're not talking about that. We're going to carry on. Anna, should I bring you up later? Or should we?
Do you need me again later?
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe. I'll be here.
Okay. Okay, there we go. How do I get?
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
You have to take yourself out, right? If I remove her, I'm scared I'm going to take her out of the whole floor.
No, don't remove her. Don't remove her. You have to change your pant to attendee.
Oh, that's what I do. Okay, I forgot to make you a...
I can't see you, Sammy.
Right? Okay, do I just say remove from change role to attendee? No removal. Yes. Okay, there you go. Hey, Sammy Stroh, you had some really good questions. Well, thank you, Anna. What would we do without the team? And that's the other thing, too. Oracle School runs as a team. And there's a lot of us in here, you know, so I want to shout out. I want to say again, Doug, you are amazing to get up in the middle of the night for me and us and everybody. And Anna, of course, you know, being there and doing everything she's doing for everybody. And the mentors who are awesome. I mean, everybody is so great. And, you know, it's all been amazing. And everybody's been volunteering. It's wonderful. So we're super, super proud of you.
Can I just say one more thing about the no judgment and the piece of that? I think there's something about staying in the present. We talk a lot in this program. You talk a lot, Colette, about staying in 24-hour increments. But I think it's also about staying present with where you're at right now. Mm-hmm. So don't try and worry too much about what's the future as far as the next course, or even if you're not quite where you think you are, a comparison. And by the way, these are all metaphors for other ways we do things in our lives on a daily basis, right?
Yeah.
Are we more living in the future or more living in the past? Are we more worried about how we're doing compared to someone else's doing in comparison? Those aren't things that are helpful for us in living our lives. So part of why we're wanting you to, you know, this isn't just about how you do the course. It's about how you live your life. So be present to where you're at right now. Love yourself right where you're at. You're in exactly the right spot.
And
it's all about grace.
And, you know, Doug, what you said about living life, this is a metaphor for your life. So remember that this is all about the reflection. The cards reflect where you're at, and they bring stuff up in you too. Some things beautiful and amazing and show you like all your ahas. I've seen some amazing posts on the main hall. And then sometimes you get some resistance, and that's also really important, not to judge the resistance or to even resist the resistance, but take a look at, oh, I am resisting this. You know, I'm resisting this. I don't like these cards. I'm mad at this or that, because that can come up too. That happened to me today, right? So like, why is that saying that? And then if I said, okay, what's my resistance? Because I didn't want it to say that. And I'm like, okay, I'm the one that wrote the cards and spirit's the one that, you know, and I'm like, okay, what is it that I don't want to see? And I think that that's also a really, really good thing to explore, because then those things can no longer hurt you or place you in a position of too much vulnerability, because the kind of vulnerability that we want to foster here is the type where you can be vulnerable enough to yourself and strong enough as an individual to look in the places that you want to avoid. So that's what's so key, is to remember that even your resistance is a beautiful thing. Even, you know, I love what Donna said. I feel like the Oracle cards have given me control over my life and trusting my instincts. You need more time at personal mastery level. Yes, of course, exactly, right? And Tarek, so resistance has been my obstacle this whole course. Resistance has been my obstacle my whole life. Okay. Right? So it's like, yeah. And it's a way to mirror to us our vulnerabilities, right? Right? When we, and I love what Sandy said, love that. But I read what it says, love into that, right? We want to love into that, love into the grace of that. Because that's when we are set free, when we can say this and that is true. I resist and I also surrender. What I resist, I need to love. I need to shed light on it. Because like, let's say for example, here's a perfect example of what happens when we look at the cards in the guidebook. And sometimes only one sentence is meant for you. Like only one sentence is supposed to pop up. But you focus on the literal meaning of the entire thing. And it's like maybe another sentence pisses you off because it doesn't make any sense. But the truth is, the one thing does. And that's what you need to focus on too. I'm just teaching a little bit about when you actually work with the cards, right? So there's a sense of reminder now, like I'm sharing with you, to give yourself grace. You know, don't look at the entire thing as a specific, you know, need to be literal. Like I know some of you take this literal, like, you know, oh, I saw Colette turn a card the wrong way in one of her things. Like, oh my God, like, didn't she say it was this way? And so these are like, we really give you guidelines. So now I want to also chat a little bit about the resisting reading for a partner. So let me talk a little bit about what happened to me. Now remember, I wasn't always this. I've been doing this for 31 years solidly, professionally. And when I first started, and I'll say when I first started, I had many times of first starts. One, when I first started working with clients, and nobody gave me a certificate. I wasn't trained by anybody. I was just natural. I just, you know, I learned about tarot cards from a book. And then I just applied this is how I became me. I didn't go to school. I just did it. And I was terrified of being wrong. Oh my God. I was terrified of being wrong. Ooh, I used to sweat. I used to have dripping sweat. And then afterwards I was like, wait a sec, I'm not the one doing this. I should just let myself hear and say. And then eventually I realized that being hootless and showing up and knowing that if me and another person got together and that we were supposed to share this, there was something greater than us that was operating on both our behalfs. And so both the client who was looking at me expectantly to to give them something that they were looking for. And I knew that I could only show what I tuned into, and it wasn't me doing it. I was the filter. And that's how I started teaching. I started teaching this kind of content 2 years after I started doing readings. I started realizing, like, wow, I need to look at this. I need to get some people over to my house. And that's how I started teaching, with 6 people at my house once a week. And we explored these things together. And I said, well, let's look at this and let's look at that. And that's how I became a teacher. When I first started, I taught what I needed to learn to people who were interested. And in my tiny little place where I didn't even know whether I was going to be able to pay my rent, that kind of thing, right? So it was a very interesting time of exploration. So you've got to remember that for those of you who are new, that's where I came from. I came from the school of exploration and not the school of intellectual knowing or theoretical knowing, even though I studied philosophy and Carl Jung and all that. I'd done all kinds of studying around that, but it was the personal experience that really made it come alive for me. So if you're resisting, and then the second time I had terrible resistance and terror, 3 times I've had it. Okay, I'm going to tell you all 3. Second time was when I got signed to Hay House. Louise Hay came to my workshop, and all the saliva went out of my mouth and my lip stuck to my mouth. Hello. I couldn't breathe. I cannot breathe. Okay. There she was. Oh, the weed paid in the room. Literally. Okay. Like I was stuck to my lip. All the saliva went out. I was shaking. I couldn't believe it. And then I couldn't remember what I was talking about. And I just stood there like an idiot. And then finally, and then she invited me out to dinner. Okay. And then was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. And then it was just laughing and joking. And because I had put this whole spirituality thing and oracle thing on such a pedestal that it was like, oh. And then I realized, no, it's about getting down and dirty in the dirt, hands in the dirt, hands in the dirt, heart open, hands in the dirt. Not about being perfect. It's just about being honest and real and sharing what I knew and sharing the wisdom and sharing with other people. And then the third, so I got over that one, but that was terrifying. And then when I got on stage in front of 7,000-8,000 people, I was touring with Sylvia Brown, who scared me too. I didn't want to go work with her. She scared me too much. And I said, I'm never going to work with her. And then they offered me a 110 city tour. And I was like, oh, really? And they was like, well, I'm like, okay. And then, you know, same thing. What if I'm wrong? And then I'm like, well, if I am, I am. And I had to trust that whatever was going to come to me had to be. Had to be, right? So, oh my gosh, Tabby Johnson said in random, she said, "And I'm on the plane to New York City from somewhere else, and my seatmate is Louise Hay, and she had just signed me." That sign, isn't that crazy? And Tabby, I've known for 40 years. So, and Sylvia was an amazing experience in the end. It was just my fear. So I just wanted you guys to know that it's normal to feel resistance. It's so normal because you're sharing something with somebody you don't know, and there's a responsibility. But I'm going to tell you what the real responsibility is. And I learned that with my television show. And I got out there, and some of you know me from there, we're from Toronto, and I got up in front of this studio audience of people staring at me, and cameras are on me. Now, this is not a show you can edit. I mean, you can edit, but this is that you have to deliver. And I remember standing there, and I just said to myself, okay, the self that is scared to talk to people, to say anything, to open my mouth, is the small self. That's the little me. And that's okay. I got to love her because the one who's doing the work, it's like relieve me of the bondage of self. And I remember saying, I surrender. I'm done. So it's just really an important thing that you guys realize that if you have some resistance to doing a reading with somebody else, you know, that just honor that and do it anyway and tell them. So here's the other thing. So when you connect to your partner, when you're going to do a partner reading, you tell them, I'm really nervous. I am fucking nervous. You know, like say, well, I'm scared I'm going to get it wrong. And then the other person will say, me too. Right? Or they'll say, don't be worried. It's okay. And then you help each other. It's really a very, very poignant and powerful thing when you can just be honest. You know, just be honest about it. Don't try and pretend like I should know. And half the time, the people who think they know how to do cards, and I'm saying it's happened, where you're so worried about getting it wrong that you say it all like you know 100% and you don't actually share it with the person. You end up telling them. Because remember, we're just starting this. We're starting a different way of communicating with the cards and connecting. Oh, I love Teresa that she says that you can't trust anyone who doesn't cuss. That's right. Pirate's yeah. Daughter. Go ahead.
I love what you said, Colette. And one of the things I think is so important about the reason why you tell them and why we kind of allow that to be present. But, you know, as I often say with fear is like something that shows up on your dance card. It shows up. You think, oh, that's nice. You dance with it and then you let it go. So when you talk about that, like, oh, I'm feeling nervous about this. I'm scared. And then you let it go. The challenge is when we try and hold it in or we try and resist it and we try and it's almost like for me, the way I was, it comes across as I have to remind myself that this is a partnership. I'm not on my own here. It's a part co-creative partnership with spirit. So let's remind ourselves that is, if we were by ourselves, it would feel natural for us to be a little nervous and to feel a little unsure. In fact, frankly, that would be healthy. What is important is that we're not alone. We're not doing this by ourselves. This is a co-creative partnership. So just allow yourself to be, almost to remind yourself that you are that, you're human, but you're connected to the divine. You have that full connection to the ability to step in.
I love Brian brought up here. He said it was okay. I was scared. I would do it wrong, and now I'm a mentor. Who knew? He says, yeah, some of the mentors like were really super scared when they started, and now they were the ones, you know, chosen to be here. So honestly, it's just super important that you're honest with yourself and that you are honest with the other person, and you allow yourself the gift to move to this next layer. And for those of you, I know some of you who said you were in like early, like module 2, don't worry. I mean, that if you're going to go into that alumni room, you can just post anybody want a partner, right? So you'll get there when you get there. It's totally fine. We just need you to love yourself enough and trust your connection to spirit. And here are the three cards that I got. Oh, I love that. Laura Peoples just said, my faux candle just lit up. Go create with spirit. Ooh, that freaks me out. All right. So here's what the three cards were for tonight. So I thought, you know what, let's do it a little different. Doug's in the middle of the night. I know. And normally we talk beforehand and pull cards for each other in the group. So I decided to do it myself. So we have three cards that are going to kind of talk about for everybody tonight, what is the purpose? Why are we actually all here at this level of the course? And the first card is the Fates. So here's where we learn to surrender to life on life's terms, right? So remember that we co-create, and the next card is co-create, okay? Like, and then the last one is higher power. So you can't make this up at all. So let me explain what these three cards to go together. So with the Fates, the first card that came up was all about trusting that there are some things you can't make happen. They're not of your making. They're when life offers you something. And like, for example, the day you were born and the minute you were born will show you your astrology chart. And only you were born at that hospital in that minute in that exact bed out of that mom's, you know, whatever. And so you know what I'm saying? It's like you're fated to have the parents you have. There's certain things like your upbringing. And believe it or not, the events of your past is your fate, but how you perceive your past is your destiny, right? So there's a big difference, right? And very, very important to consider that how you perceive it, how your perspective changes by doing this kind of work changes everything. So it turns your fate into destiny. It's an amazing concept. But ultimately here, the Fates, and some people get spooked out by this card because she's blind and she's pulling the stars down. So she doesn't need to see anything. All she is connecting to spirit. So everything that comes down from the heavens, right? So we co-create reality. We pull it down from the realm of spirit. If you've read my book Uncharted, I talk about that. But that's not for this course. So now co-create is next. Now with co-create, we say, okay, there's some things I need to surrender to. And these are things that are both things that I can't change that I would consider positive and other things that I would like to change, right? But I know that I have to co-create my reality between two pillars. One, I have surrender to life on life's terms. And two, through my intention and my connection to my higher power, I then weave the other threads and create the pattern, right? I create a pattern. And if I have patterns that I've created unconsciously, that because I may be fated, I know Carl Jung said, whatever we don't bring up from the unconscious to our awareness seemingly comes to us as fate. So somebody actually talked about that in one of the questions tonight. And by the way, too, I will spend some time over the next 5 or 6 days answering some of those questions, because if you noticed, I go through them sometimes a week later or whatever. What you ask and what you say is important to me, so do check back. And by the way, the other thing is you always have to look at older posts. Like it'll say, you see the post, they look shorter, you're wondering where your posts go. Then there's another one, older comments. So then when you click on that, then you get pages and pages of other comments. So your stuff doesn't disappear, it's in there. So go check it out and see what I say to you. Because I do spend some time going through that. And I like to do that and spend more time with you guys on these next two calls, right? So, some of them, if I don't know what you mean by your question, please redo the question and say, this is what I mean. I don't say that to you to be facetious or to say slap. I don't like your question. No, it's that I don't understand it. So the next thing is, so higher power, we don't do this by ourselves. Remember that when you take a partner reading, and you get that person, then that person and you are opening up to seeing and exploring what the card says. And what you're getting the opportunity to do is to take a card, choose a card, or have the partner choose a card, whatever you guys. Oh my God, Tavi Johnson was scared of me. Oh my God, that's so funny. I've known this girl for so long, you have no idea. We both lived with the same guy too at one point. Well, on different times. Different times, long time ago. But anyway, so I know that's very funny. So we get to a place where we have to trust that this dynamic is there for you to really get that this is real, because you see it in action, because it is harder to see for yourself. You're doing the hardest part in personal mastery. This is a hard course. Like, make no mistake about this. This is not easy. This is not an easy course, right? It's a course that will challenge you, and it will show you the areas where you're growing, and that resistance is growth. Remember that if you plant a tulip bulb and in the spring. Remember that the ground is hard and cold. It's winter. And here is this little flimsy plant that has to push itself up to reach the air and like to come above the ground. That takes a lot of resistance against what is packed solid. Remember that when you have resistance, it means that you've come up against yourself. You've come up against, I love Connie. She says, who are you calling a flimsy plant? That's so, I know. I feel like I've drank giggle juice too. Yes, it is. I love that you said that, Tarek, that the course is more than you expected. We can't describe this course to anybody well. I mean, when we're offering the course, we can't really explain this to you. We can't. We try, but words just, you know, fail it. So these are the three cards that why we're here together, right? This is why. So I'd like to get some questions, and then we're going to spend another 10 minutes on questions. Then we're going to take two people up at a time, and we're going to get you guys to practice in front of us, and everything is perfect, and you can't do it wrong, okay? Just letting you know that, just so that we can model it for you a little bit. So the last card was higher power, Sally. The last card was higher power. Okay.
Hey, Colette, there were down to four questions that are in the Q&A too.
We'll go there first.
You might want to look at those, yeah.
Perfect. Andrew asks, what helps empaths get to neutrality, i.e. those who are really sensitive? When you get to those topic to answer, please. Yes, let's answer that right now, because everybody in this course needs to know this. As a matter of fact, I just wrote the blog for next week all about how to handle the holidays for extra sensitive people. Excuse me, my gum, as you know. So here's what we want to first of all do. There's a couple of things that you may not have heard, Andrew, that we've talked about once or twice earlier in the course. So particularly people who are empathic, you have to imagine that what an empathic person is that you have something called porous boundaries. Porous boundaries means that you're kind of sponge-like. You'll notice that people who are tough or who really don't care that much about other people, and you wonder, how can they be like that? It's because they're thicker skinned, right? And they don't tune in. They don't care about world events. They don't worry when if the oil slicks happen or whatever. To them, it's just news. You notice those people are very different, and they don't get wigged out by much. We do, because we tune into the feelings that exist in what is called the field, or the divine matrix, or consciousness, or the goddess, or whatever. This conscious universe that we inhabit, we tune into like radio waves. So imagine that we tried to turn off our radio, but it won't turn off. You know, like it's still on. Somehow we still hear it, and it's off. Like, what do you mean? I'm still hearing all the music that's from everywhere. I shouldn't be hearing that. I turned it off. I tried to anyway, blah, blah, blah. So it's like you're hearing a cacophony of an experience, a cacophony of feelings that sometimes you don't know is yours. So that is why meditation is so crucial. So, so, so crucial. Oh, Tarek has said I'm not sure if you're a she or a he, says, I joined the military as an empath, not very smart. Well, you love get on your bird. That's wonderful. So that's the thing. So why the get on your bird? Oh, you're a she. Thank you, Tarek. Thank you. So why we get on our bird is to get us a sense of a level of neutrality, so we're in an observer rather than a person who is in the thick of things. We can overreact as empaths, and we think it's ours. That's how eating disorders come. For most empaths, most people with eating disorders are empathic. So I can gain weight without eating any extra food because my body is trying to contain all the information. So how do we do this? So two things that are tools that are tangible tools that I would suggest to everybody is to order on, you get it on Amazon, those Himalayan salt blocks that you can put under your feet. If you're sitting at a desk, you go barefoot, and don't worry if your cat wants to lick it or your dog, it's perfectly good. It's not bad for them. They're just Himalayan salt blocks, and they're as big as your feet. You get two of them, and you put it on. I like to put mine on a yoga mat just so that it doesn't wreck the floor. And you just put your feet on it. And I'm telling you, you can put your feet on it anytime you want to recharge. It's the most amazing feeling. You just sit there and read sometimes, or sit there if you're going to be communicating with somebody, you put those feet on the salt block. Why does that work? Well, what it does is that it actually draws out what's called positive ions. Positive ions are created by our fight flight response. It is constantly like I don't know why they don't call it negative ions, because it feels negative, right? But they call it positive ions. I never understood that. But the positive ions are things you don't want. And so it's the thing that pollutes the air. And when, you know, when they clear the air after a thunderstorm, those are negative ions, and that you feel them, how feel good you feel. No, don't put candles under your feet, Connie. No candles. No, flat. Will my Himalayan salt candles work? No, they will not. Lakendra just said, I love my salt block after salt scrub, shower, or bath. I'm sitting here holding my rocks on my block and daring my family to interrupt me. Yeah, get the blocks, right? Yeah, not lit. Good one, yes. And a grounding mat. April has a grounding mat. That's perfect. And you can get those. I think they're earthers. Hematite is fantastic, Gina Maria. Thank you. Hematite is a stone. I just finished my crystal spirits oracle. That's coming out next summer. And hematite is a grounding stone, and I actually use it. I use it as a worry stone. So I hold it. It's very, very comfortable. Oh, great, Rose. So you just hold on to a piece of hematite. The other thing that's very good if you're around your electronic equipment, especially if you're reading stuff on the internet, is a piece of selenite between you and the computer. So you can get a selenite, one of those wands. They're not expensive, and that's a salt also. I have Himalayan salt lamps in my house, but honestly, those are personal. You have your feet on them. There's nothing like it. And the other thing is that would be very, very good is to take a salt bath with Himalayan salt that is naturally mined. You get it in bulk from anywhere, Amazon, Saltworks. There's tons of companies that sell it. And it says mined. It says hand mined. And they always say if it's dynamited or hand mined. And you take 2 cups of the stuff and you just stick it in your bath. And it really, 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 it really is amazing. So, and then the other thing is meditate, 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 meditate. And sometimes meditate, it feels like shit. Sometimes you just want to talk to somebody or tell stories while you're supposed to be meditating. And guess what? That's the way it is. It's like, you just got to keep disciplining your mind. And some days the monkeys are up before you and they're like, bleh! And that is, you got to just push through it. You just got to push through it, because people are saying, should I, you know, I'm not having a good time meditating. Yeah, guess what? Eventually you're going to be high as a kite when you meditate. So you got to push it through. Shungite wands are fantastic also, shungite. Feel it to deal it. Exactly. Chamomile, lavender oil. Perfect. So there you go. Now let's keep going. Can you go over the structure of a reading? How long do you recommend? I found when I met with some of my classmates, we read the meaning of the card, then asked the recipient questions, help to get clarification. Yeah. Why not? You're just learning. You tell them what you see. Absolutely. You're going to answer that, Doug?
I'm happy to.
So, let's both answer, because
yeah, let's talk about it.
Read the meaning of the card, then ask the recipient questions to help them get clarification. That's good. It's not my typical reading style. Ah, it's coming from somebody who's done this before. I get it. So I would love some tips to make the reading more fluid. Okay, so here's the best way we can describe this, Terry, is to just read it like you're having a conversation. There's a thing called a passive reading. And again, this is stuff we go into in Shared Wisdom, but I'll just tell you a little bit now. So, if you have done readings for people, typically you will have done it or learned how to do it as you are the active and they are the passive receiver. So it's typical that they don't say anything to you. As a matter of fact, when I started my work, they weren't allowed to say boo to me until the very end, until I was done talking. 40 minutes, then they could say something, and they were only able to say yes or no while I was talking. It was a complete, here's what I see, here's this is, blah, blah, blah. And that was the way that was my style when I was doing one-on-one readings. Now, what I'm showing you how to do is very different. This is for the household practitioner, which means people that don't want to do this for a living, but also for people who are in the field where you don't realize that the lack of communication between you and the other person actually doesn't allow for something to grow between the two of you, and you have more insight and epiphanies when you allow the interaction, right? So mine became interactive too over time, Colleen, but I'm just giving you that kind of feedback. So Doug, do you want to add to anything?
Yeah, sorry, I just got a message in the chat that I said something I'm completely mistaken, so in the question. So I had to say, I said in a response to Lizzie's question about the ego is definitely bad, and I would say definitely good. So please forgive my one in the morning, two in the morning almost brain.
Oh my God, did you say it was bad? No, it's good. It's fine.
No, I know. I made a big mistake. I'm so sorry. No, listen, I think that one of the things that's important when we're doing a reading is that you want to start by I think it's about first when you share the card, you share what's there for you. What is it? And you talk about from your space, what are you picking up? And you ask them to share from them as well. The thing that's important is that it's a conversation. This is a dialogue. This is not a let me tell you. So this is the important thing is no matter how it happens is that we let it be a dialogue and a conversation. When we talk more about this in Shared Wisdom, and this is a big part of it, is that what you don't want to do is allow it to be a power dynamic where it's like,
yes,
I'm the expert, you're not. So I put me up, I put you down, and I tell you from my space of wisdom and knowing what you need to know. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about playing with what do I see in these cards? What do I know about these cards? And how does that come across for you? Let's talk about this. Let's dialogue. Yes.
Very different.
Conversation is the most important thing, I think, to remember in this process, even more so than the process, if you will.
Exactly. Somebody made a good comment about how do you separate the reading from the cards and what I see as a clairvoyant. So you all of a sudden, the minute you bring in the clairvoyance in this stage of the course, right, you are negating the power equality, right? Because immediately like, oh, I have this gift and I see these things. Now you can add by asking the question, does it make sense to you? I know this is what's coming up for me. I hope it's okay to ask, but I'm kind of seeing this. Does that mean anything to you? That's the way you can approach this. But if you were a professional and somebody paid you to be a clairvoyant, that's a whole other ball of wax. Like you're there, you're expected to see something. That's how I made my living for 25 years or 20 years. So it's really key that you recognize that this is a dialogue. This is a sharing. This gets you intimate and amazing. And it's like, it's enriching and empowering, exactly what Vanessa said. Right. And I love how everybody's saying Doug is so amazing. You are amazing. You have a big fan club here. Okay, wait a sec. Connie Kramer said something good. While my intuition can still be clear while interacting, I find that too much chatting brings me more into the personality lower chakras. Whereas if I sat in more of a meditative state, I receive more insights for the person. That's interesting. Because Connie, there is a level of, remember that you have to get grounded in the conversation. So if you're looking at the chakras, for example, you want to start in a grounded space. And you're right. Too much chatting, if you are paying too much attention to the personality and persona, you're not paying enough attention to your peripheral feelings and senses, then you run the risk of staying in the lower. But everything is an exploration right now. Honestly, just explore. Just explore. I've noticed. Wait. Oh, I like this, Judith. If a person you are reading for is emotionally charged, anxious, resisting, upset, heartbroken, how can this serve their reading? Is there something we can do as a reader to move past this energy or help them get to neutral to give a reading for their highest good? No. If a person is like, they shouldn't get their reading when they're emotionally charged, anxious, resisting. Like I would take a while to get my client when somebody came like that. I'll say, let's just talk this out for a little bit and get calm. And then I would have to go outside of them. In other words, I had to kind of like go around them. But in this condition, it's like, I think when somebody comes to you, you have to be able to skip around that, I guess is what I say, rather than being triggered by or expected to fix or tell the right thing to the person who is obsessive around a relationship, right? It's like it's a little bit better for them not to be so emotional. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah,
it's kind of fuzzy.
Yeah, I think the good thing is that the more important thing is for you to pay attention to what you need. And if someone is deep in emotion at the moment, it may or may not be a good time to do a reading for them. You might want to give them some space to process if they're like just going through something pretty intensely. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it really is more about you staying grounded in yourself. And, you know, I think trusting your relationship with the cards and spirit and connecting with what's going on for them, know you might be picking up more on their energy. But I think, as Michelle says in the chat, actually, you know, sometimes we just need to hold space for people too. So sometimes the card can just mirror, the card or cards that we pull may mirror back to them a little bit about what's happening for them in their life right now. And it might give them some space. Mm-hmm.
And it's important. And it's also important not to get engaged in somebody else's stuff. Like if somebody else is in an emotional space, what you have to be careful of, which is why we don't allow like people to rescue each other in right. You have to recognize, is this triggering my need to rescue them? Am I going to feel needed? It gets very complicated too. So when you hold space for somebody, you just let them be where they're at. And then you get grounded and say, okay, here's what I'm seeing here. You're not responsible for the other person's state of mind, or you're not in, and you're not responsible for where they're at. You need to stay neutral. So if somebody shows up, I mean, obviously when I did this professionally, I couldn't send somebody away unless I felt that this was something that I thought would harm them, which I have told people. I said, you know, you've been to too many psychics. I would send people away. They wait 3 years to talk to me. Well, yeah, I had a 3-year wait list at one point during the course of my career. And I don't work, I don't do readings anymore professionally for 2 years now. So when doing readings for others, some people are expecting a typical tarot-like spread. Well, Maria, if you're doing readings with other people in the class, you're going to choose one card for now, or up to three total. That's it. So that is, three-card readings exist in the tarot too, you know. So we just don't do tarot spreads because it's not created that way. They had a 78-card, very specific fixed system. This is a fluid system. It's very different. Oh, I love this. So I just did a similar action. I did a reading. The lady did not like the reading. So I just kept her calm and told her to think about the reading for a few days and call me if she needs to. So the other thing is having a dialogue. If somebody says, I don't like what you're saying, it may be that they're in denial about what they want to hear and what they don't want to hear. And that is the responsibility for those of us who do this professionally. And also, everybody is responsible for their experience going into a reading and delivering a reading at the same time too. Lizzie Oliver asked something interesting here. I think I'm asking at a higher level. Was that the one that you answered? I didn't see her question.
Yeah. So what she's asking, she said, Lizzie had a question earlier in the chat that we were trying to answer that was in one of the videos, she seems to recall that you said something about separating from your ego to do a reading, which I know is probably not what you said exactly.
I know exactly what I mean by that.
Yeah, so go for it.
When I say it's separating from the self, it's self-centeredness. So if you separate from yourself and you are channeling, you're seeing from an observer's point of view. So your ego doesn't get involved. And when I talk about the ego, it's like the self and its machinations and its agendas. Like, oh, if I do this person, you know, will I help them? Because that will serve you. So the ego's machinations, when it is in that, it's either going to ease God's order or edge God out. Of course we are integrating. This is about integration. This whole thing is about integrating. But I talk about, if your ego is involved when you're doing a reading, then it's about you. That's what I mean by that. So I hope that you just sort of send the ego to the side and deliver with detachment. And we have some professionals in here, Gina Maria, Cynthia Fontaine. We have quite a few pros that are part of our school and part of that started as students. So I did an oracle reading on someone. We meditated together. I held her hand and prayed the prayer you taught us. Woohoo! I love it. I love it. I love it. That sounds awesome. Yay. Okay. Lizzie has asked some pretty good questions over the course of this. A lot of you ask good questions, but that was actually well thought. So I hope maybe I didn't explain that as well as I should have in that, but that's really what I mean. So watch the semantics of the issues around language, and I get it. Language is we have language to give a container around concepts and themes and thoughts, and sometimes it's not as expressive as clear. I've noticed how Colette pulls cards to answer questions with magical ease and flow. For me, I sometimes feel like I want to use the cards to answer numerous questions throughout the day, but worry I will fall into oracle abuse. Numerous questions of the day is not oracle abuse, unless the same question over and over, is he going to leave my voice? Is he going to call me? Is he going to be there? What's going to happen with us? Am I going to get this thing done? Am I going to get it? What for my highest good, am I going to get it? right? It's kind of like, or like, what do I need to know? I'm going to talk to you about that in a second. And when you're doing a professional reading, there's a way, if you're doing a professional reading, to use the guidebook where you say, you know what, let's look at what the author actually said about this. Because then that's, as opposed to going to the guidebook is without appearing that you know it. So when people come to you for a professional reading, they assume you have knowledge and you have experience and you have some understanding of the tool that you're using. But I think, let's look it up in the guidebook. Like, you know, say like, you know, the author wrote some really great, really, really great deep meanings. Like, I think we should use the guidebook. And then people always use the guidebook. So it's up to you. Just know that it should be fine for you. And say, you know what, I'm going to read the guidebook and then let's talk about it. Right? Yeah. So just be comfortable with yourself. And look at all these full-time intuitives, Angela Kirby, Allison, Terry Cohen, everybody here. We have the coolest bunch of people. And Gina Maria says it helps her center with what she's getting. My cards are channeled. I did not make them up. I swear to God, I go into, as half the time, I don't know who wrote them. I even say to Doug, like, who the hell wrote that? Like, when I finished this deck, it freaked me out. Like, same with the spirit animal. I go into the trance, same with the goddess deck. I never write an oracle deck through my intellect, ever. I'll have to rewrite it. I will sometimes even use Google and readings if something comes through. Perfect, right? You can look up Google and say, like, if somebody, you know, gets an image to them saying, or like, you might work with them as meditation. I don't know what you do, but you might. And then they say, oh, I saw a raven. You say, oh, let's look up, or I got the name Alfred. Oh, let's look it up on the internet. And yeah, right. It's the way it is. It's the way it is. And we are all striving to be better versions of ourselves. So yeah, exactly. Okay. Now, let's look at the other thing and then let's go into, oh, it's already 8. Let's do, so guys, I'm going to be answering some of your questions by hand online. So give me a few days. Tabby Johnson, I will not be pulling a card for your 80-year-old friend. Thank you for asking, but you can have somebody else pull a card for your 80-year-old friend in your classroom. Okay. So let's get some people up. Here's what we want to do tonight. We're going to pick 2 random people together, and we're going to show you. Oh, yeah. Hang on. Cynthia just wrote, we got a dodo bird and found they were super intelligent and friendly. Exactly. We have to be supportive. Exactly. Okay. So here we go. Now, should we stop the chat temporarily and just let people put up their hands? I think we should. Okay, we're going to stop the chat just for a second, and if that's okay, you guys, just so that, am I the person to save the chat? No one can, I'm in the host. Usually you're the host.
Yeah, unless if you're the host, if you want to make me the host, I can do it, but.
Yeah, you to be the host. I don't want to be the host anymore.
Yeah, that's what I thought. if you want to do practice reading with someone else, and that's what we're going to do tonight, we're going to let you be the ones that pull the cards and share with another person. So we'll have 2 people coming up at a time, mm-hmm. Raise your hand, and we're going to do some trials and kind of give you some practice opportunities to do that together with us today. So go ahead and raise your hand if you'd like to do that, and we'll begin to bring people up. So I'm going to just pause the chat. Oh, we've already paused the chat. Perfect.
I did it. And I'm going to, I'll pick the people.
Perfect. I love it, Colette.
I'm just going to go up and down with my little thingamajigger here.
And you tell me when.
When, okay, Maria Ramirez. And Sammy Stroh.
All right, Maria is coming up, and Sammy.
So I just did like a roulette wheel, you guys.
And here comes Sammy. Hi, Maria. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Great. Hi, Sammy.
Maria, I love you. There you are. So okay.
Hi.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to just let you go for it. And you have to know that nothing you're going to do is going to be wrong. Okay. So We just want to show you and guide you. So we're going to coach you a little bit. If you say, for example, if you do veer off, I'm going to jump in and say, okay, let's reframe that, right? So I'm just going to have you guys pull a card. So first thing everybody needs to do is ask each other permission.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, Sammy.
Is it okay if I pull a card for you tonight?
It's fine. Is it all right if I pull one for you?
I'd love it if you did.
Okay.
Okay, so here's what you guys just did. I'm going to show you step by step. So you have now bonded as equals, right? You pull a card for you. You're not coming to her for advice. You guys are going to share this experience, right? So now you both have given each other permission. Perfect. So which one of you is going to go first?
Sammy.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Maria, for you, I pulled number 10. Unfinished symphony.
Okay.
Now that's in protection.
That is in protection. Okay. I'm going to refer to the guidebook right away. That's a good card. Okay, so number 10, unfinished symphony. The essential meanings now. Unfinished business, an incomplete lesson, lack of closure, the need to make amends. Okay. So the oracle's... Oh, go ahead, Colette.
Nope, I didn't say anything.
Okay, the oracle's message.
This no, it's is, in protection.
It's in... Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, that's okay. You're doing great.
Okay, so we're going to start that again.
Maria's reading it too.
Okay, thank you, Maria. When unfinished business casts a shadow over your life, it is a reminder that procrastination is a form of self-sabotage. It is not in your best interest to stall. Even stumbling forward is better than holding back. Don't overthink things or let yourself get distracted. Just tie up any loose ends and deliver the results. Don't quit before the finish line. Spirit wants you to win.
Okay.
So now we want to talk about it. You don't want to just leave it at that and go, okay, right. My turn. So Sammy, you would say to Maria, so what came up for you around this? Does that make sense to you? Like that's your favorite line, you guys. Does that make sense to you? Like, how does it make sense to you?
Okay. Does that make sense to you, Maria?
Yes, it does, actually. I don't know how to form how it comes together, but I can relate to it.
You can relate to it. Okay, that's wonderful. I think...
Can we just try another question that can be really helpful is, where in your life do you see this being relevant or applicable? So are there some places in your life, Maria, where you might have some things where you've been procrastinating and you need to take action to tie up those loose ends? So do you know of any places or does that, can you think of any places in your life where that's applicable for you?
Yes, I can. Personally, I can.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. You don't have to go into it in front of the entire school. That's fine. Okay, we understand.
But if you're doing these one-on-one, you want to share that because you're opening up yourself. This is a conversation. So for right now, you don't have to, but just give yourself some space when you're doing that one-on-one with each other, not in front of the room, to talk about that if you're comfortable, because that's the dialogue.
Yeah, so like you would talk to her about more deeper, you know, more personal stuff. You'd say, yeah, you know what, in my personal life, this is what's happening. And I totally get it because I do need to make a move and I don't want to. I've been putting it off, right? So then that validates what Sammy connected to, also validating spirit coming before the two of you. And then enables you then to go, okay, it's my turn. Is it okay I pull one for you next? And then you guys will find out what you have in common. You'll find out what is in the nature that brought you together in this moment, right? So you'll spend more time with each other, obviously. So Maria, why don't you, if there's any feedback, great. And yes, and that's the other thing too, what's really important is not to talk too much. For example, what can happen, which you didn't do, which is great, you don't want to vomit on the next, on the other person, like, oh my God, you wouldn't believe this, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, that never happened, and I was like this, and I'm so upset. And like, can you pull another card for me? So that's not what you do, right? What you do is like, yeah, my personal life, and here's a couple of things. Yeah, wow, that's so amazing. Your turn. That's how it's, as far you go. But you don't get into like the drama and the like the Shakespeare. That's not what you do. Okay, so your turn, Marina.
All right, Sammy, is it all right if I draw one for you?
Please, thank you.
All right, I have in my hand number 25, round and round in protection. I don't know if you could see it very clearly.
I can, thank you.
Okay, so we'll try to read it from the book.
Okay.
Number 25. 25, in protection, says, oh, I'm a little nervous, so please forgive me. You kind of rattled my cage with the reading. It says, are you refusing to see your own personal responsibility for repeating lessons you don't need to relearn? You have to surrender now to the fact that you are the common denominator in all these repeat performances. Be happy, for this is a wonderful spot to be in. You can now see the cycles that you wish to exit. Once you figure out that you have the power to stop going round and round, you possess the key to your freedom. Be good to yourself. It's not about blame, but accountability. You have the abundant life filled with love and prosperity that spirit so wants for you. Does that resonate with you in any way?
It really does. It really does. With Oracle School, learning that I am the one in charge here, that's been huge for me. And I'm the one who continues to be in charge. Round and round we go.
Can I also say something else too? Those two cards are very similar. Hers is also round and round, unfinished symphony are the only two cards in the deck that are conjunct, right? Conjunct they're the only two ones. So unfinished symphony means that you haven't completed a cycle, you haven't learned the lesson, etc. And round and round, you both got them in protection. Round and round was also, there's a piece of, you know, you're the common denominator. You have to see that there's something that you're experiencing again and again that you're accountable for, meaning that you have to take an action, change a viewpoint, do whatever, which is what you said. Yes, I'm the one in charge. I'm accountable. So it's very interesting that both of you had accountability as a theme, because these two cards thematically are cousins.
Oh, that, you can't make this shit up.
No, you can't. Wow.
See?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You guys
did
great.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you, Sammy.
That's great. Awesome. Right. Oh, I'm totally loving this. Okay, let's get some more people up. We have to say bye-bye. Doug.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you for coming.
So, Colette, there were a couple of questions that came in about that particular reading I think it would be good to talk about before we bring up a couple more.
Sure.
The first is we did talk about, you know, what should we have asked a question first? And in that particular situation, what we did, of course, was just, what do I most need to know right now? So those are the question. certainly something to consider. And, you know, another thing is that in terms of the process of the card, there are a lot of people that are asking questions in the Q&A, Colette, like, should we let them review or say what the card means for them first and then do the read? And really recommend you start with a book. We want to be really clear that this is, even in my professional readings, you guys, when I do work intuitive coaching with folks, I always start with a book. And because then that will really both ground me and ground the individual in what the intent of that card is. We're not making up a meaning about the card. We're staying with the meaning of the card as it was created, as it was intended by Colette. That's really important, I think. So we definitely recommend you start with the book always in that regard. Now, one question I'd love to get your response to, is what if Maria didn't relate to the card? How would we have handled that? What would you recommend when that happens?
So that has happened. Right. So we don't know why somebody, I have had that happen where I'm like, I don't get this. I don't get this at all. Oh, then what you do is you pull a clarification card. You pull a second card saying, you sure this doesn't make sense? It doesn't make sense to the dominant energy. Is there anybody around you that's having this? And they're going, no, 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 which is very rare. But when it happens, typically that person does not want to know what the card says. And instead what you want to do is say, okay, let's get a clarity card. So we'll say, I'm going to choose a second card. I'm not quite sure what this means and how it applies. Then when you get the second card, a clarity card, boom. And yes, we all noticed that both Maria and Sammy had butterflies on their walls. Did you notice that? That was so weird. I love it. Yes, Mo, you can say, can I tap into your energy? Yeah, you can say that if that's your language. That's fine. You know, it's kind of like, I think sometimes it's like, that's a little intimate. It's like, oh, can I tap into your energy? Like get in there.
I don't do that. I think I use the permission. If I have permission to do that, then that's permission to get what I need to do what I need to do.
Oh, also the other thing is now that is not appropriate if you're working with another student because they may not know how to tap into your energy, right? So everybody can give permission the same way and everybody can read the guidebook the same way. But I'm assuming that you might be a professional. So in which case, if you do energy medicine or any of the other things, you cannot say anything that feels appropriate to you. But in this context, anything that you do that places you with more talent than the other person you're working with is counterproductive to what you're doing here. Because we're sharing this, right?
It's like, say that again.
Oh, I don't know. It's on the tape.
Anything. I can do it. Anything you do.
Anytime you do
in a different power dynamic with the person you're doing the reading for is counterproductive.
And with in this context, in the way that we're showing you how to do readings, because we're showing you how to have deep conversations with people. That's the point of this. And you are really sharing something deep and meaningful. This isn't like, hey, let me show you what I can do. I can pull cards and tell you stuff about yourself. Aren't I cool? Or like, hey, I do this for a living. I should know all this. That's totally different. Really different. If you are clairvoyant and you have stuff, you have to be so careful not to put the other person in the dunce chair, right? It's like in a dum-dum chair. Like, oh, you know, look at me. I have all this stuff. Like, oh, I know you've never done this before, but I show you that. That's not what we're doing here. We're teaching you a different way of doing it. And you'll find it to be extraordinary, and it empowers your person. Eventually, if you do this for a living, or you add it as a skill, or change how you do readings, you will totally get how people will come back to you over and over again because you have empowered them during the reading. Not that active passive readings are bad. I did very, very well and made a living doing that. It's a different type of thing. This is just a different, and this is much more if you're interested in coaching or healing arts or things like that. That's more the direction that leads you towards as a certified oracle guide. You're guiding and you're talking with that person. I'm not a professional.
Let's bring up a couple more.
Yeah. Let's do some more. Okay. Thanks, Mo. Yeah, it's just to be aware, you know, what would cause you to be different than others. Okay, let's get two more people up. All right. Deborah Blakesley. And we're gonna go down. Wendy Fuller.
Here's Deborah. Let's get up Wendy. Oh, Wendy, I've got two for you. I wonder which one's right. We'll try the first one, see if that works.
Yeah, you never know, right? It's like, woo, you want to know.
Hey, Wendy.
Oh, my goodness. I'm shocked.
No, I heard my name and it went, who? Oh, that's my name.
Good evening.
That's me.
Okay. So get your cards out, you guys.
Okay.
Awesome. See how much fun this is too? Like, no, right? It's just, it's getting comfortable and taking that risk. And like, remember, you're not the ones doing it. When I say that, it's like, yes, you are. You've got the guidebook. But when you do have that conversation with each other, it's like, you can't, like, how did we make that up? The other two people both had butterflies. How did we pick them? How did, you know, the cards were the cousin cards. Like, how did that happen? Right? It's amazing.
Synchronicity.
Yep. Now, obviously, it's a little bit more intimate when you're doing it by yourselves and you're not in front of 400 people, just in case you wonder.
You think?
Doug, I can't hear you.
Let's start with asking permission. Who'd like to go first?
I'm going to let you coach them, Doug. I'm going to mute myself.
Perfect. So how about, Wendy, since you've got your cards there going, would you like to pull a card for Deborah first?
I'd love to. Deborah.
And general, and this is for a general, right? A general question. Yes. What do I need to know for my highest good? Okay.
Okay.
Deborah, may I pull a card for you?
Yes, I would love it. Thanks, Wendy.
Okay. So I'm grounding myself because I'm a little bit shook up. Okay. So here we go. Card I'm pulling for you is Yin, and it's number 2 in protection.
Okay.
So I believe number 2, feminine energy, is what I understand, I think. And it's in protection, and I don't have my glasses in front of me, so I'll use my magnifying glass. This feminine principle of receptivity, letting someone else make the first move, getting information, and taking in cues, the set of conscious allowing, the art of conscious allowing. Okay, so in protection, Deborah, it's prescription. Do you have trouble receiving? When you continually insist upon being the giver, you can't always lead, always give, and always teach. You must be the student, the open vessel, and the one who receives the gift, gesture, or offer in equal measure. Open up and let love, life, abundance, and spirit fill you without demand or expectation. Just receive the bounty that is yours.
Hi.
Yeah. Nice card.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's Thanks. That conscious allowing. Really living with that. This is second time for personal mastery, so that really, really resonates for me. It's been a whole different, I don't want to say I'm behind, I'm right where I should be, but at this point I'd be like, right up, I'm doing everything, and this time I'm like, this is where I am.
You're going with
it. Yeah, so it does definitely resonates big time.
Nice, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
A good message for me too. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, there are no accidents that way, right?
One of the things would be great to do, and I think it's really helpful, you guys, when you have that, and we don't have to do that tonight, but just, you know, after, Deborah, you've had a chance to talk about how it applies in your life, and the person you're doing the reading for gets a chance to talk about where it's applicable. Sometimes I find it really helpful, Wendy, to say, you know, when in my life, when I've had this card before, there are places in my life where I've had to really remind myself that I need to not always be the giver. It's been really helpful for me. And so what we're doing is we're sharing not about the card, but about how the card has resonated for me, or how that message has resonated for me.
Okay, I wasn't sure should do that, actually. I actually wondered if possibly you could, yeah. So I thought maybe you shouldn't bring your own personality into it. So that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Colette.
Yeah, it's not your personality. It's sharing, you're identifying with this person. And so your help, it makes you feel not alone. When that person, like going, yeah, you know, oh man, that resonates to me too. And I'm sure that the cards resonated to the other ones because they were similar cards. But right. For you to say, yeah, oh wow, that was a good one for me too. So, and then you could say why, or, you know, just say, yeah, like I totally identify with that too. Wow. Because that's for both of you. Right. So see, so you're sharing this. Sometimes I think the thing about cards and I can't remember, I think it was Lizzie that said that earlier about integrating. We're integrating our whole lives and we're sharing so that we feel so disconnected most of the time in our daily lives. This is really about creating connection. Doug just wrote that. Connection between the two of you, connection between everyone. It's about the idea of creating connection. And that's why, you know, doing these types of readings in social situations or, you know, for fun with friends or whatever, or even with clients. And you're bringing up something that allows an intimacy that we don't have the most part in our lives. We just talk small talk or internet bullshit. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, Instagram fancy thing. It's like, we don't talk what's really going on. So this is an opportunity to share and to feel like you belong.
May I? I actually felt an instant connection with Deborah.
Yeah.
When I pulled the card. I felt the connection.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Next.
Great. So yeah, so you want to switch roles, Deborah?
Okay. Wendy, do I have your permission to pull a card for you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Please. Great.
If you can see it, I got regeneration and protection. And that's number 46. There we go. The essential meaning is rebirth, second chances, new opportunities. Mm-hmm. That it was in protection. So the protection message is endings come in many forms. And now is the time to stop holding on to what must die so that something better can take its place. Nature cycles include disease, decay, death, and regeneration. Let whatever isn't working in your life die. Don't be afraid to face the facts. There is no need to struggle or grieve. Whatever your query, let it go. You're about to be reborn.
Perfect message.
How does that resonate with you?
Perfect message today. Perfect message. I've been working on that all day.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. So again, if we were in a situation where it might feel a little more psychologically safe for you, Wendy, you might share a little more with.
We get it.
It's not now. But you know what I'll tell you, I have to say, I mean, and Deborah, I don't know if you felt this, but, you know, one of the things I notice is that I pay attention to my feelings and to my body when I'm doing a card. Mm-hmm. As soon as you pulled that card, Deborah, I got so teary and emotional.
Yeah, it got like caught. I was like, I was losing my voice, and even now. So, I'm really resonating with Wendy. I mean, there are no accidents.
Absolutely.
I love you, Wendy. Thank you.
Don't make me cry.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It was great.
Story is that a friend of mine is, I'm going to be saying goodbye to, GM just closed down in Oshawa, so we're moving away, so it's a hard
Oh, sad.
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right, love you guys.
Love you,
Wendy. Thank you, Colette. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
So we had some good, April had suggested I'm struggling with this a little bit. You asked the initial question, pull a card and read from the book. Is that all? Definitely not. That's just the container of what you're doing. What happens is that you're opening yourself up to being a connector for that person. You've chosen a card for them. Then yes, you talk about like, what, you know, you share what's in the guidebook and then you ask them. Now it was a little bit awkward because we're in front of 300 people, but we all got a chance to feel how connected everybody was to their card without going into too much detail. I think we all felt it. So it's really that the point of doing it, April, which is a good question, is to feel connection and to build connection with somebody in intimacy through spirit, right? You're co-creating this with spirit. So you can come into the reading with an actual question too. And we don't have time to do that tonight, but we'll do that next week. And where you can take an actual question that's not like what's him for my highest good, just say, what do I need to know about my job? And I find the general readings in the very beginning is much better, but you might want to ask a question, in which case then that person will be looking at it from the prosperity message. Right? So then you can be a little bit more distinct. But it really is about building connection and building trust. And the epiphany is that you can't make this shit up. I mean, like, you can't. It's like, it's so incredible that you sit there and you both go, whoa. And then you can talk about how it resonates with you and how both your thing. And that's what this is about. It ends up to be this extraordinary conversation between two people. Now, this will not be the same if you are a professional. You're not going to, you know, share with that, with the other person who isn't there paying you money to talk about yourself. Right. So you can refer to it and say, yeah, you know, I actually went process this myself. They want to know about them. It's a very different dynamic. But ultimately it's still, and we'll get to that in shared wisdom. We won't get to that now. And this is not part of personal mastery, but right now we just want you to understand that this piece is about deep intimacy and the epiphany and of the synchronicity being about the spirit that is awoken in both of you at the same time.
You know, one of the things, one of the things I love, Colette, and I appreciate you saying that, is that it is about this connection and this intimacy. But if our goal is not to be right.
No.
Our goal is to create a connection, to have a connection, a heart to heart, spirit to spirit connection with another person in a way that the oracle cards can provide insight or support or a message or love. It really is about that experience. So be aware of that as you're going. I mean, I think both of these readings tonight, these experiences that we have for role play, there were parts of them that may have brought up some things that would have been best served not on video, which is why we kind of cut them short a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think in your conversation, allow the dialogue to be there. Allow yourself to have that safe conversation. You know, I often joke in my workshops, you know, it's about Vegas rules. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So when you're doing those conversations, you know, be protective of the confidentiality, but allow it to be about focusing on the intimacy and the connection.
And I love that you brought that up, Doug, because it should be, you guys should, you know, talk to each other and say, like, this will be confidential, or is it okay if we share this? Because that's the other thing, because you can share your experience with your partner readings on the main page. And the reason why I want you to do that and to get into this, some of the detail there, is because it really helps the others who haven't done it yet, or also you just keep witnessing these amazing things. There's so many good ones in there. So, so that I think is going to be important. I've accidentally erased a person's question. As mentors, can we partner with a student if they don't have a partner? Yes, absolutely. Mentors can partner with students if they don't have. And Anna, don't tell me I'm wrong. We're on the last week. if they can't find a partner, but you should be able to. And then do we ask a person to read for after getting permission what question they want to use? Yeah, or beforehand. Or just say, what kind of question? You want to just do the general? Yeah, because you guys are just talking and then laughing and telling you that you're giggling. And then, yes, you can get at really deep, intimate conversations, but not on a recorded video. That's where we would prefer you for you. If you guys want to find each other, Anna's going to tell me I'm wrong. So Anna, you're okay. We're not allowed to. Oh my God. Okay. So you're not allowed mentor. You are not allowed to partner with a student if they don't. So nix what I just said. You're not allowed. That is exactly correct. I knew I was wrong and I apologize. Sorry, Anna. Oh my God. That's so funny. Doug, it is, the chat's back open. Okay, great. So we're going to say, oh my gosh, I apologize. Anna, are you going to laugh at me and please send me a little Frida picture or something? I'm not the person to ask that question. I should have just, but anyway, I'm tired. Okay. So we'll just erase that. That's going to be the end. And for those of you who come back next year and look at these videos again, you will see the nut bar who's teacher who said a couple of things completely asked backwards tonight. But anyway, love you all. Big heart. Imagine that we all have a connection, put our hands on our heart. There's this beautiful pink web of connection between every single student in this school, Anna, me, Doug, you, Jill, everybody, and how much love there is for everyone here. We have so much for all of you. We sure do. Mwah. Good night, everybody. Thank you all. And Doug, 2 a.m. I can't. You are amazing. You are so amazing. Mwah. Bye, everyone. Go schluffy. Go bed. Bye.
Good night. Bye, everybody.
Good night. Bye.